Welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome, friends, to our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour broadcast. Glad to have you with us. Hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. We've got a tape message that we'll be listening to together with you. And again, following the message today, we will, we'll open the phone lines, give you an opportunity to join us and to share what's on your heart in relationship to our theme this week, which is the highest form of worship. Pastor Stephen's message entitled today, The Art of Worship. And we will make some introductory remarks before we go to the message today. And then we will listen to the message in three separate portions and take a break between each portion and comment on what we just listened to and what we heard together with you. And then, of course, following the conclusion of the message, we'll open the phone lines and give you the opportunity to join us as well, and you can share your thoughts. So I want to welcome everyone listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and, of course, our podcast can be heard on a number of different platforms, such as the following: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. That's just to name a few. And we appreciate you tuning in and listening to the broadcast live this morning. And for those of you that are unable to do that, we hope you'll catch up with us later. You can archive today's broadcast and listen to it at your convenience. When the phone lines are open a little later in the broadcast, you can join us by dialing one of these numbers, toll-free in all of North America. That number is 800-338-7060. And then we have our local number here in Baltimore for all of our local listeners. You can join us at 410-483-3700. If you can't get to a phone, then perhaps you could weigh in on a chat and share your question, comment, or testimony that way. And, of course, you could always email us, comment a question, address those to questions@gracehour.org. Pastor Schaller's joined me in the studio this morning. And he's going to share some opening remarks about the theme and the subject of worship. And then in a few moments, we'll go to the first portion of today's tape message from Pastor Stephens.
Our first point, Pastor Love, is on the subject of having respect for that which is higher than myself. It's seen in life in many ways that we have an inborn sense of that which is bigger than us, smarter than us, has more authority than us, whether as a child that's our parents, that's our school that we go to, that's our government that we are subject to. What is higher than me, what knows more, I have respect for, and so on. But in our world, we have fallen to a lower level where we invent in our own minds, thinking highly of ourselves and discrediting others, discrediting the traditions of our society. In some cases, we are discrediting authority. And this is not only prevailing in our culture, but it's been prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where that in the latter days, which is where we believe we are today, there will be people who will despise authority, be lovers of their own selves, and worship would not be a part of man's life. He would not be a worshiper of God. He would not fear God. But as it was in the time of Noah, a independence and even an inventing from my own imagination, and this is where it's coming from, is the imagination of my own heart, the fallen nature of man. This happened, we shared it last night in the service in Genesis 6, that the Lord had actually regretted that he had made the human race. It's what we call in theology, what they say is anthropopathism. God expressing his feeling as a man would, regretting something that he did. And of course, God doesn't do this in the absolute sense, for he knows all things. There's nothing surprising to him, and he knows it all. But to tell us, for us to understand how disappointed he is, how wrong it is, what happened to the human race, and how bad it was in the time of Noah. And we are told by Christ that as it was in the days of Noah, so it would be like that at the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of Christ. So our theme today, and that Dr. Stevens is going to be sharing on, is the art of worship. And I just want to introduce the theme by saying that that people that are born again should cultivate in their hearts. They have a new heart and new spirit, and they become different from the rest of the world because they become worshipers. That worshiping is a major part of their new life. It is not only individual worship, like as we would when we would go to our home and be private, but it is corporate. It's when we assemble and we partake of the same message, respond to the same truth. We are sensitive to the anointing of God, and we find ourselves worshiping in the church. And it's real. It's effective. It's dynamic. It's affecting your life. I have a piece here. It is what William Temple, Archbishop of Canterbury in the UK, said, worship is a submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, meaning we become aware of what is right, what is wrong. We feel good about it. We are honoring God as our creator. It is the nourishment of the mind with his truth. The mind being renewed, loving truth, responding to it. The purifying of imagination by his beauty. That means we actually can see in our hearts the beauty of his holiness. We enter his courts, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come before him, enter his tabernacle. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, to behold his beauty in the tabernacle and to make inquiry there. Then the surrender of our will to his purpose. This is conscience, mind, this is emotion, and it is will. And all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, when we adore or worship him that is outside of us, and we are subject to him, appreciating him and loving him. This contradicts the whole idea of self-centeredness, which we are gagging on it. We are choking on our self-love. The book of Jude says that Sodom and Gomorrah were cities that were given over to fornication and homosexuality, going after strange flesh, and they are an example. He describes them in Jude verse 8 as dreamers. A dreamer is somebody who has an imagination, but their imagination is after the flesh. It's an evil imagination, and it defiles their, or pollutes their bodies. Their bodies are destroyed by their sin. They despise authority, verse 8. They despise dominion, and they speak evil of authority. They speak evil of God. They speak evil of angels. They are not worshipers, but they have fallen into a state that is destructive. And they are, verse 10, speaking evil of those things which they know not. This is very profound, I think. They are attacking people that have a different set of values than they do, and they don't know really what they're doing. They don't know how bad they sound. They don't know how wrong they actually are. And they attack religion, they attack free speech, they attack our way of thinking. It's like a man with a small business baking cakes, and he does not bake a cake for a homosexual marriage because of his personal conviction about it. And they hate him. They take him to court. They want to destroy him and his business because of hatred. They are speaking evil of things that they do not know, and what they know naturally as animals, as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. Now, as bad as that is, we love people. We love people that are different from us. We said it last night. We love people that are, whatever political party they're of, whatever their religion is, we love people. How can we love them? Because we love God. When you love God, you love your neighbor. When you love your neighbor, you actually love your neighbor, like with your heart. And Jesus said, the second commandment is like the first one. The first one is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second one is like it. To love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, this is spiritual. This is spiritual. This is why Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil for Moses' body, which is some insight there that we also know little about, but it seems that Satan did not want Moses' body raised from the dead, and wanted his body. Isn't it interesting? They would want the body of Moses. But Michael did not bring against the devil a railing accusation. He did not speak evil of him, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. Wow, that means when somebody is evil, we are blessing, we are saying, going to the higher authority. We go to God, we say, God will deal with you. I'm not dealing with you. Alexander the coppersmith has done me much evil, or the silversmith has done me much evil, but the Lord rebuke him. Galatians 5, they that trouble you, they will bear their own for that. That'll be there. That's not my business to curse. It's my business to bless. And the Lord will deal with people that are contrary to him. So I say all of this, and this is a lot of material, but I say all of this to introduce the subject that we have today of worship. Worship is something new when somebody born again becomes a worshiper of God. They love God, and they also will love their neighbor. Even though their neighbor may be different, may believe differently, act differently, and be different, and even be an enemy, but they will love them with the love that is in our hearts from God. Because when you are a worshiper of God, you have an unending resource of love, of patience, of truth, of wisdom, and of faith. So let's go to the video clip, the audio clip, and listen to Dr. Stevens.
The word of God in 1 Chronicles 16:29, the scripture says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, come in to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And so for just a few moments, I want you to consider what it means to have a heart that worships God in spirit and in truth. Because right there lies the whole problem of Christianity in the home, in the corporate body, in communications with others, and relationships. Because if a heart is not exercised in the spirit of worship, then that heart will not have the truth of God's love and grace manifested in its quality and substance of being. It is so important to have an understanding of the word worship. Worship simply means this. Following it carefully in the Holy Spirit, it means to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and soul and strength, or if you want to put in mind, in Mark 12:29, in Matthew 22, and Matthew 23, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And that means the attitude of the mind. And then with all thy soul, that means the motivation of self-life. And with all thy strength, that means the capacity of being. It means to always appreciate everything about God without inspecting God's program. It's a spirit of worship. If we worship God that way, in spirit and in truth, then we're able to experience God's love, God's grace, God's presence, and God's mercy, and God's purpose and God's plan in every single thing that we do. Let's say that a person gets up in the morning at home and they have the spirit of worship upon them. The spirit of worship. The center of their heart attitude is loving God. Their motive of self-life in their soul is to glorify Jesus. And their strength, that is, their capacity for being that day, is totally taken over with desire, which leads to faith in attitude and motivation of self toward God. And they begin to worship God. Then the things that come their way are faced and challenged with a spirit of praise. If I have a spirit of worship toward God, then I have a spirit of praise for God, which goes toward men and toward people in every situation of my breath. And this is what the Bible means. And I want to take you carefully on what I feel in a more direct way it means. But it means this, that when I realize how deep, how beautiful, and how great God is, and all that he has done in the beauty of his holiness, in the majesty of his grace, in the purity of his love, and the very purpose of his person, and when I understand somewhat by a capacity to receive his word by faith, all that he's done for me, and all that he is in me, and all that he puts up with through the years, and all that he works out in our lives, then I say, Lord Jesus, I worship you. I worship you. You're my creator. You're my savior. You're my Lord. You're my patience, my peace. You're my joy. And every single day and week of my life, I could bow down. You've done it again and again and again. And I worship you. My heart has the attitude of loving you. My soul is motivated to serve you at any cost, and my strength, my entire capacity and potential for being is toward you, and I just worship you, Lord. I worship you. No matter what comes my way, I have the spirit of worshiping coming without, coming from within me toward God. And as the spirit of worship comes from within me toward God, the spirit of praise comes from without me, within me, and out toward others. and it's a spirit of praise, and it doesn't make any difference really where they put the outward man or how they challenge the inward man. From within, from above, is coming worship toward God in the true reality of grace, in the humility of knowledge toward the Word of God.
Well, there's the end of the first portion of today's message entitled The Art of Worship. And it goes right along with what you just shared, Pastor Shelley.
Yeah. Pastor Love, I think we could talk a little bit about how there was a time when we were more afraid of God. We would ignore, we didn't know who he was. Generally, they say 96% of the population of the world believes in God, but that just means, too, that even though there are people that believe in him, it doesn't mean that they know him. And if you don't know him, how could you love him? So you can't really, there are moments, I think, for everybody when we stop in one of those kind of cosmic special moments of engaging with the awe and the wonder of creation, and we have a moment of worship. But generally, those moments are rare. They happen to people. People are, of course, different. We're all, but we're also very much the same. People are not knowing God, maybe afraid of God. They invent their own God. There is not, they don't discover what Dr. Stevens was just talking about.
Mm-hmm. And he quoted in that portion, John's Gospel, chapter 4, I think it's verse 24, God is actively looking for worshipers. And
yeah.
That in and of itself is amazing.
That is. That's a very profound statement. He is looking, seeking such to worship him.
Incredible.
Why? He enjoys it, or why?
Yeah.
He knows how good it is for us.
Exactly.
We're made that way.
Yeah.
Right?
That's so true. I mean, because some people say, what is it about worship? Well, why is God needed? Does he have an ego problem or something? He's got to be worshiped. But it's for us.
Yeah.
We need it.
Yes.
He deserves it.
Say that he doesn't enjoy it is incorrect either.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't God enjoy us? And why wouldn't he enjoy the fact when we understand him and we know him? It'd be like a young boy, 7-year-old boy, understanding his dad, and the dad is happy. They're throwing the baseball back and forth, and he's enjoying. You know, he seeks such. Did the father look forward to his son discovering baseball and discovering his dad and enjoying that? You know, does the dad look forward to that? And why wouldn't, if the Lord made us this way, then wouldn't we understand what it means when God says he seeks such to worship him?
And of course, there are the particulars there. How do we go about it? Well, in spirit and in truth. You're not going to worship God without the Spirit of God leading you, guiding you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then truth. How can you know God without the Scriptures? As you said earlier, you could end up with a terrible misconception of who God is unless you're guided by the truth of the Scriptures.
Yes. If you were walking along in a park and you found in a bush a love letter that's written by somebody you don't know and written to somebody else that you don't know, and you sat down in the park bench and you started to read the letter, you would ask yourself questions like, who are these people? Does this person really love this person? And so on, you know. But you still don't know the people. So when you read the Bible, it is a love letter and much more. But if you don't know the God that wrote the Bible, and you don't know who he really wrote it to, then you're really, in a way, in the dark. But you do have an idea that this is about love, and maybe that person really does love the love the party that they're writing to. Why do I say that? Because we need more than just like an intellectual reading. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us who is God. And when you touch God and that love is in your heart and you love God, this is a new life for you. You are a worshiper.
Wow. Yeah, a whole new realm. And you know, you can't overlook that word in John 4:24. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We heard that word before in John's gospel, the previous chapter. You must be born again. There's no new life with Christ without being born again. There's no real worship of God unless you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth.
Yes, absolutely. There's so much room for error left using the park illustration. You find a letter, you know, you generally can invent things. Oh, this guy doesn't really love this girl. You know, I don't trust him. You know, this is weird. If I was this girl, I would run away from this guy. And in a similar way, people have evidences in the world, but they can invent out of their own mind and their own heart who is God. They make up gods. They make up a whole thing based on something that they don't really know much about. But the key would be humble. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't live in fear. Generally believe that if God made this world, he must be a very good God. If he made this world as I can see it, he must be amazing. I do not understand it all, but I don't know much. So why don't I humble myself to Jesus Christ? Why don't I put my trust in him and believe that he is a God of love? That there is a better world coming, that he has the deepest answers for my deepest needs.
Amen. And we can become worshipers of God. Let's go to the second portion of today's Grace Hour message from Pastor Stevens, again entitled, The Art of Worship.
Worship is such an important thing. What happens when a group of people, the best they know how, where they're at, learn to live like that, and when they come to meet with God and they worship like that? So many people will say, well, we had a good song service and that's beautiful, but the worshiping should be in the car and be in the home before the song service ever begins. So many people come and put the sermon on probation and put the song service on probation and put the testimonies on probation, and they put everything on probation because they're waiting for something to come from without rather than already having received that comes from above within. And you see, when you're worshiping God, everything is beautiful that comes, because why? You're worshiping God and you love him, and it really doesn't matter too much what comes your way because you're occupied with worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and so you're filled with a spirit of worship. So if somebody comes up and stammers and stutters and preaches or testifies, it really doesn't matter what they say. I don't know how many times in the last 3 days I've looked at individuals in weariness, and then all of a sudden the Spirit would quicken me and say, that's an eternal soul that I purchased, that I redeemed, that I own. You listen to me and be sure that you communicate to them the love of my life. And so all of a sudden it would quicken me, and I'd be right there loving every second of our conversation, because I realized this is God's plan for me now, to listen, to share, to communicate, to love, and to minister and to be ministered unto, if that's God's will at any time, and it always is. And so it's a spirit of worship toward God, and it gives a spirit of praise, but a spirit of attentiveness, a spirit of thanksgiving for the circumstances, for the trial, for the immediate thing that's happening, and it's beautiful. And I think you get a group of people worshiping like that, And that's when it glorifies God to heal because he's free to do so, to save because that's what he came to do. And the worship goes up to the master, but the praise is heard toward men, not only with our words, but with our attitude and the singleness of our eye. Then body members come together in their services, and they're seated, but in their heart, there is a oneness. You don't have to pray it in. I went to a service and somebody tried to pray the angels in one time. And everybody was praising God. They was praying the angels in. And I said, is this good, Lord? And the Lord says, it's good for where they're at. But he said, if you have my oneness, you don't have to think in terms of praying angels in, because the Holy Spirit will fill you and run over, and he's already in. And in each section of that type of corporate body, they may be at different spiritual levels. Of course they are. Different opportunities in their past, at different places in grace. But they come in with a mental attitude of worship, with a motivation of their soul to worship, with a strength equaling a capacity to be, which is in hunger for worship. And they come in worshiping God in the beauty of his divine provisions. And then the impact against the air, the impact against the enemy, the impact when they are at home, and the terrific impact of singularity begins to be a manifestation that the devil has to face in the reality of its divine penetration and its offensive intensity as it progresses out in the atmosphere beyond. And that power becomes a united force where the body of Christ, because the homes are in their proper order, and the body of Christ begins to reign together in a united oneness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like this, that you speak a sentence and something happens. You think and power takes over the room because there's a oneness. We don't have to preserve something. We don't have to change something in ourselves. We don't have to be preoccupied with problems because we're occupied with reigning grace from the throne of God. And Jesus Christ is bringing us into that place as we grow together, that we will be occupied with a reigning life. And it's thrilling, and it's inspiring, and it's challenging, and it's beautiful, because it comes from worship, it comes from praise, it comes from the oneness of the heart, and it puts us all in the same attitude, even though we may be at different spiritual states. It puts us all with the same desire, even though we may have many different backgrounds and experiences. And it places us all into the precious tender-heartedness of God's truth in conviction, in tenderness, and in love.
Well, that's the second portion of today's message entitled The Art of Worship, focusing more on worshiping together with the body of Christ. And boy, the benefits, Pastor Schaller, of gathering and worshiping corporately. Of course, every individual believer can worship God anytime, anywhere, but then purposely coming together and corporate worship, there's just something very special about that, gathering together. I mean, it's God's purpose. The church in this age is God's purpose. And when you come together and you worship God, and you don't have to try to create a unity because it's already present, you don't have to try to, you know, solicit the angels to come and create that, because they're present worshiping God. It's almost as if when we're together in the worship corporately, we're in the right place, and God can move and speak and heal and deliver. So many great things can happen when we corporately worship.
Yes, and I have a note here from my Lexicon Divine's Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words. And the note is, the worship of God is nowhere defined in Scripture. A consideration of the above verb shows is not confined to praise. Broadly, it may be regarded as the direct acknowledgement to God. It's like we said in the beginning, we are looking for that which is higher beyond us. The Creator, this is when the Creator is defined as Creator, Savior, Sustainer, then the result is a respect and appreciation. Here it says acknowledgement to God of his nature, attributes, ways, and claims, whether by the outgoing of the heart in praise and thanksgiving, like as we do, as we just heard, or by a deed done in such acknowledgement. So it's, in a way, we don't really put our finger on it, but we know what it is. And we know, like, from the heart. And that the woman at the well, like Jesus said to her, you worship, but you don't know what. So, in a way, it wasn't much worship if you don't know what. It's just, a mechanical thing or some ritual or practice of habit. But when you are spirit-filled, and this happens when you are born again and you are submitting yourself to God in faith and he fills you with the Spirit, then you will know what it is, and it will be a real thing, because the real living God makes himself known to you in your devotion and in your relationship. But this being said, Pastor Love, maybe you can comment that there is in our New Testament the worship of the Antichrist, the worship of idols, the heart of man being depraved and inventing in his own mind these gods or this lie that has deceived me. And that maybe we have seen very strange things happen with people when they turn to the creation and worship the creation instead of the Creator.
Mm. That passage in Romans chapter 1, and the first thought that comes to my mind is when they do that, they forsake and the Creator, and they worship the creation itself, their foolish hearts are darkened.
Mm.
It's one thing to have a foolish heart, but to have that foolish heart darkened,
yes,
brings you to a place where now you're so vulnerable to the atmosphere and to Satan and his emissaries. You could be brought to a place where, well, I guess we're seeing it today in our own culture, where a young person can't understand or figure out whether they're male or a female. What's happened there? But their foolish hearts are further darkened.
Yeah, they call it like a fluid mindset, where you could go from female to male. You could... there's not the objective reality. So it's a lie invented in the heart, and I end up in my worshiping creation. It's going to have a dynamic effect on me, mislead me. I'll be deceived by my own mind and my own heart and believe it and embrace it and even be passionately disposed to it. We saw that in Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. The passion, the lust that they couldn't control as they were pushing on Lot's door. They were even blinded by the angels, but it didn't stop them from pushing on the door and insisting, being driven by lust. Wow. Whew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cross the line.
Yeah, well, then you have the coming deception even further is the worshiping of the Antichrist. And this is in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. So, wow, it sounds to me like this world is dynamic, not static, not frozen in tradition and in history, but instead moving, fluid, right? They use that word, and then and deceived, and actually dangerous in many ways.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you can see how the table is currently being set for this world ruler, this Antichrist. Things are, I mean, people are, they're putting all their eggs in the basket of an election because they are hoping and believing that a person is the one that's going to save and deliver and make all the difference, when in reality, no one can do that but God himself.
Yeah. The answer isn't political. It's actually spiritual. And I think we have philosophically, where the world has changed, and we have moved in a direction where extreme individualism, where the rights of the individual defines reality, and we acknowledging and accepting that, rather than tradition challenging those extreme ideas and saying, no, you can't do that. And they push and they say, yes, we can. And we are caving. Our traditional way of life is yielding to extreme individualism, which is governing and also encroaching on our rights, our religious rights, our freedom of speech rights. And so we have a big contest here. But I'm not worried about it, because as long as we can be worshipers of God, God will lead us. Mm. God will show us the way. Very bad times have happened in history, and it's the born-again believer who is the worshiper who finds freedom in his spirit, love in his heart, forgiveness, faith in his prayers. He is a worshiper of God in the good times and also in the bad times.
Mm. Boy, this is the right time to be worshiping God. No question about it.
I'll tell you, if you don't, yeah, you very well could be drawn into some wrong way of thinking that will deceive you, even the elect, it says.
Yeah, that is possible.
Even the elect, yeah. That if I didn't shorten the time, even the elect would be deceived. That's quite a statement.
Sure is.
And 10 years ago, we wouldn't understand the verse like we do today.
It's true.
We wouldn't understand that. What do you mean? If I didn't shorten the time, even the elect would be deceived.
Mm.
Wow.
That's powerful.
It is.
Yeah. And in the past, we could see the dark cloud of our culture coming in our direction. But now it seems more like it's hovering over us.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah. We haven't even seen where this is going to go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. This is challenging us. They don't agree with it. We don't agree with all of this. So we agree in many ways with free. We have Republican liberal democracy. Yes, women vote. There is no more slavery. There are equal rights. There's many good things that we can say about our society. On the other hand, when there are lies that are very deeply embedded in the hearts of mind that challenge even our free speech or our religious conviction, then we are getting into dangerous ground.
Mm. Boy, oh boy, we're there. Let's go to the final portion of today's message entitled The Art of Worship, and then we'll be back with you to make our final comments.
It is no wonder in the fifth chapter of Joshua, when the captain of the host appeared, and Joshua fell down and took off his shoes God had spoken to Joshua continually, and he wouldn't speak to anyone else. He said, Joshua, you're my man. I'm going to speak through you. The people will go into Canaan through you. You're my man. But then the Lord said to Joshua, just always remember, I'm the captain of this house, and you're the prophet or you're the pastor. The order will still be the same. But Joshua, as he did so beautifully, just worshiped. Because he was in the spirit of worship before the Lord appeared. So it was only the next step was to worship God or Christ in that situation. And like Moses did in the book of Exodus, he took his shoes off, worshiping God. In Ezra, in the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, at the time of the supper hour, when he went to worship God, he couldn't lift up his face because he said of Israel's sins, and he included himself in that, and he began to worship. And oh, may God teach us continually as we know him to have a spirit of worship, which produces a spirit of praise, which reveals a spirit of oneness, and which leads to every one of us from the home to the body reigning in a throne life instead of backing up for the devil's accusations, his criticisms, his divisions, his suggestions, his emotional effect upon our lives. But instead of standing still or backing up, we reign with worship, we reign with praise, and we reign in the oneness of a perfect union. When Isaiah saw the vision in the 6th chapter, he saw those angels worshiping and saying, holy, holy, holy art thou God Almighty. And he saw it so clearly, but before he saw that, he saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne, and the train filled his temple. And then he saw the angels, the celestial beings in the host that God created, and he saw them worshiping, holy, holy, holy. And then he saw that beautiful picture. Their face was covered, their feet was covered, but with twain they did fly. The angels could not be revealed in their face. The angels could not be revealed by their walk, but they were revealed with their wings. They were flying. And that means that we reign conquering the law of sin, living above the atmosphere of demons. We reign with our wings of life and we go above them. Why? Because our face is covered through the worshiping the Master. Our feet are covered. Our own natural walk is covered. You can't see our feet because we're worshiping Jesus Christ and walking in his Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. And because of this, by the grace of God, the only thing you could see with those angels were their wings. And the only thing that people can see about us is not who we are, not really. Our names are incidental as far as people go, but is the victory of life, how we fly above accusations and demons and frustrations, how we live above it with the wings of spiritual life, all because our worshiping conforms us into the spiritual and mental image of the one that we worship, so much so that our faces become the health of his countenance. Please, as we grow together, learn it well. Practice it through faith. Experience it by grace. And reign in love, but with power of truth and not compromise, of the Word of God and not subjectivity, of the plan of God and not manipulation or schemes, but worship God in spirit. And that only capacity of us that can receive God's word, the entrance of thy words giveth light in Psalm 119, 130. And that human spirit becomes alive as the word of God objectively enters into it, its capacity, and brings in the light of what he's done and the light of what he's doing. And then the human soul begins to be so overwhelmed with a motivation to obey, to submit, to follow, and to honor, and to worship. And then the body is presented as a living sacrifice and a burnt offering. And the word of God says in 1 Chronicles 29:27 that when they had made a burnt offering, they had a song in their heart, meaning they offered their bodies as a living sacrifice by having renewed minds in the spirit of worship. So they had praise in their soul. And I think that we will discover that wherever the spirit of worship is missing in the truth of the revelation of that love, we will enter into various forms of self-oriented lives, sincere as they may be, which will frustrate, in Galatians 2:21, the grace of God, so that we do not realize what God has revealed for us to recognize, and we do not experience what God has personally given us as our experience. They that worship him must, they must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Well, there you have the conclusion, friends, of today's Grace Hour message entitled The Art of Worship. Some great thoughts to wrap that message up today, and of course our theme all this week on the Grace Hour, the highest form of worship. And one of our listeners, Pastor Schaller, mentioned earlier, or asked the question about, can you comment more about what Jesus meant when he said, you must, and we heard that at the very end of the message, you have to, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. What exactly is involved when we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth?
The submission. The spirit, to be filled with the spirit, the yielding, to recognizing the nature of God, and then the Bible, the truth of the Bible, mixing faith with the Bible. John 15, if my word abides in you, you will ask what you will, it will be done for you. So truth is the Bible mixed in my heart and mind with faith and the spirit. Teaching us. I want to make a point before we finish, and Pastor Love, you can comment on this. In the beginning of this last piece, Pastor Stephen spoke about how we could get drawn into some controversy or fight or a problem with another person, but to get beyond it and worship, like some things, like we have that proverb, don't put wood on the fire. So let's say you have there's strife between you and another person, and you could just feed the strife, and where's your worship? You know, it's like I've got to deal with this. This is a problem. You know, this person was unfair to me, or they slandered me, or they violated me, and I have to, well, yes, okay. Those things happen, but you have to decide how you're going to spend your time, what you're going to deal with, and how you're going to handle it. Because I'm sorry, it's sad to say that some people will sacrifice worship for the sake of a fight.
Mm, what a shame. When you have the opportunity to worship God, every opportunity that presents itself to do that, we should embrace it. Mm-hmm. Because again, to go back to our comments earlier in the broadcast, we need it. We need to worship God. It was why God made us.
Mm.
He deserves it. There's no question about that.
Mm.
But we need it. It fits us. It's right. It makes us whole. It fulfills us. It satisfies us. It removes it. You just think of stepping into a worship service at the beginning of, you know, your local church service. What happens? Well, you lift your eyes off of yourself. You're not looking at your problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking at your troubles. Your heart and minds are lifted to worship God. And you realize that's my answer. He's my answer. I don't need to iron out everything and deal with every issue and every problem. But if I have him, I have everything I need.
Mm. In Ezekiel 1, we see the living creatures with four faces, and they also have wings that go up, wings that go to their side and touch other wings, and then wings that cover their bodies. It sounds like worship could take care of a lot. You know, a lot could be covered, like my feet could be covered if I worship. My body is covered if I worship. Maybe my relationships are covered if I am worshiping. So, I just want to repeat it before we finish. There is a lot that you could get entangled with. A lot of unfair things happen in your life. A lot of pain can happen in life. But if you could make the effort to set the Lord before your face, as David said, at his right hand are pleasures. Yes, you can tap into this. This is a different way. Not my way. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God said, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you could shift to Christ and see how Jesus, who lived his life to hit the big target, to do the thing he was called to do, and he did it, and he became our Savior. Everything else is a moot point. Everything else is just, you know, he did it. He did it. And so let us find the right way of living our lives.
Yeah, and that's through worship. Worship really hits the target. And there's a deep sense of fulfillment in our hearts when we worship the one who made us. For that purpose, to worship, to glorify his name. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us for this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We really appreciate you tuning in. And to all of you that were listening live, thanks for being with us. Those of you that join us later and archive today's Grace Hour broadcast, we appreciate that as well. We're going to be back tomorrow. We'll wrap things up in the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour, a little less than 24 hours. We hope you'll join us then. Until then, may God bless you.